Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
So this is the 58th episode of this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and today we're chatting here in Assembly Buildings in the hope that this conversation encourages various leaders within our congregations as we think together about the whole area of service and leadership. So Christine and David, you've joined with me today, and it's great to be able to chat like this face to face. And we welcome our listeners who are tuning in today. I'm Rick Hill and I'm hosting this episode. Christine, you're new to the podcast. David has been on before, so we'll maybe allow you to go first and maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe share with listeners a little bit about your background.
Sure, thanks Rick. My name is Christine Craig and I am in my early 30s. And I've lived close to or in Ballyclare for most of my life. I grew up attending the organisations in Kilbride Presbyterian Church. And when I was 14, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. Since then, I've been involved in the life of Kilbride in various ways. And I am currently an elder elect for our congregation.
And what does an elder elect mean for anyone who doesn't know what that is?
It means that the voting has taken place and we've been through the training. There's six of us and the service of ordination is planned for June.
Okay, so that's very exciting. It's an exciting time for you and the congregation, I'm sure, as well, and Kilbride. David, you've been on the podcast before, so just remind the listeners of your role and maybe tell us even about any initiatives that you're involved in or have been involved in more recently.
Thanks, Rick. I head up operations for PCI's Council for Congregation Life and Witness. And it's the department in PCI that tries to resource congregations for all aspects of their weekly activities and help them develop their work. So in the last 2 years, that's been completely changed from something that was very much planned in advance to something that we've just had to work and try and build as we go along during the pandemic, as congregation life has stuttered and stopped and stalled, and now as it's spluttering back into life. So that work's been more challenging, but also a lot more interesting. And it's just heightened our ability to listen and learn and just live in the moment. So just now we've got two big focuses. There's a series of coming back, going forward events around the country in May and June, in which up to five leaders from congregations are being invited to register and come along and have a conversation about where their congregations are on this journey out of the pandemic and into God's future. And then work has also begun on a little booklet that's called Back Together Again. And it's thinking about the community of the church and what we've learned during COVID and what might change as we go forward.
Okay, just to pick up on that, specifically as you're engaging with coming back, going forward events, as you're out and about and you're engaging with congregations, what are you hearing and what are you seeing as congregations develop more normal patterns? It feels like that anyway, and maybe as they try to encourage people to serve and lead in the life of church again.
Yeah, one of the common pieces of feedback that we're getting is that it is difficult to get people to engage again as leaders and to serve, and that's for all sorts of reasons. Some previous leaders have decided it's time to step down after a long period of serving, and so we've lost a lot of those older, more experienced volunteers. And maybe we find ourselves in 2 years where we thought we were going to be in 5 or 7 years. Some of those who used to take key roles are just not around the place the way they were because of the interruption of the pandemic, and it's like they've maybe gone missing a little bit. And then some are just slow to recommit for all sorts of reasons, and maybe that's not surprising because all of us know that getting our regular life back on the rails is a bit of an effort. And a recent poll across church life in the UK did indicate a 77% drop in volunteers, and I'm guessing we're seeing a bit of that too. And it's not just in the church, because I know in the volunteer sector, this is one of the big challenges they're pushing into as well, in terms of who's going to do the work as we go forward.
Well, let's maybe touch on that sort of challenge maybe as we go through the conversation. Christine, you're coming from a perspective where you've journeyed in Kilbride and into service and leadership, and now you know at the stage that you're at as well in terms of the elder elect as well. Tell us a bit about that journey for you and what maybe we can learn from that today. So what was your journey into service and leadership? You know, how have you been encouraged and drawn in even when you were younger as well?
Sure. Well, just even thinking very briefly, like, I've been really thankful that Kilbride is a congregation which encourages and enables people to serve. And my first experience of this was being asked personally to serve in our Sunday school when I was 16 as a junior leader. And I find this so encouraging, as I was personally approached, and that meant a lot, particularly when I hadn't been a young person that had attended church all their life. And I went on to become a leader there for 10 years and also served within our youth club leadership for a number of years. I've also previously served on our church committee following an election onto it, and I guess I really noticed how that meant our congregation noticed some of my gifting. And that meant a lot too. Throughout the years, I have plugged into different summer initiatives, whether that's been locally or with PCI, but throughout that, my congregation has been very prayerful and encouraging. And I think that's been really important as they see people willing to serve. However, I also have been very conscious of trying, especially recently, to create sustainable patterns of service, because I'm conscious when a congregation sees people that are willing, they will maybe ask for lots of different opportunities. They will want people to get involved, and I'm very conscious of that and would caution that now.
Yeah. Sustainability, that's one thing you've sort of pulled out what you've said. I'm interested in the personal approach as well. Would you have responded to, an announcement from the front when you were 16 to help out in something, or was it the personal approach that made a difference?
Yeah, very much so. Probably when I was 16, I would not have put myself forward in the same way. And I think that having that personal approach means something to people because it means that someone else recognises something in you and wants to encourage that, and hopefully wants to draw alongside you in that too and help equip you in that. And I've certainly seen that through my walk and my journey.
Yeah, and you maybe weren't the finished product at 16 either, in terms of you still have things to learn, I'm sure.
And I still am, okay. Very much journeying, still always learning.
No, that's really helpful, thanks. I mean, David, as you think, if congregations are struggling to engage volunteers or develop younger leaders, help us reflect maybe even on why that might be the case, and then how could we be responding to that?
Yeah, there's so much in what Christine says there about the personal touch and being asked. I mean, are we asking people until the point where we really feel we've got a gap to fill? We're probably not great at doing that, and that's been the story over the years, and it's why we often don't have a leadership pipeline in our congregations. And then just being understanding that leadership is a journey as well, and we need to be supporting people in that journey. They don't come as the finished article, and sometimes when we've been leading for a long time, that frustrates us because people, we kind of feel, they haven't done it as well as we would have liked them to. Well, that's all part of the journey of developing leaders and helping people on that journey. I think in this particular season of church life, it's hard not to be frustrated when you don't have enough leaders to get things going again. And lots of us are feeling that. And if you're a number one leader, by which I mean you're the leader in charge of an organisation, or you're in formal roles like the minister or an elder or a staff member, you're probably one of the most frustrated people, because you're in that role because you like to make things happen and you want to see things happen. And so when a shortage of leaders holding you back, you're probably prone to be a wee bit irritable and angry and maybe panic a wee bit. But it's important not to panic, because we are in a season where we're coming out of what we've been through in the last 2 years. And it's not like we're just waking up and it's a brand new day and we're all starting again. This is going to take a while. I think in trying to understand why we're maybe struggling to see some leaders coming back, it's probably important to take a bit of a step back. And someone came up with these categories the other day, and I thought these were really helpful. They said there's probably a few different groups of leaders who haven't come back yet for a variety of reasons. There's people who were already disaffected before the pandemic. They weren't really happy in their role. Everything stopped, and this allowed them to just step back. So they're disaffected. You've maybe a few of those people about your church. There are people who are disengaged, and they just haven't reconnected again, at least not yet, because they've just got out of the way of things because life has just been so interrupted. Then there's people who are drained, and they just don't have the physical or emotional energy to come back and think about recommitting the way they used to in the past. Then there's probably another group of people who are discouraged, and maybe the pandemic's just knocked the stuffing out of them because they worked for years in an organisation or activity, and they've just seen it grind to a halt, and all they invested in it has gone down the plug hole of restrictions. Or maybe they're just spiritually disorientated at the moment, and that can happen to any of us at any stage in life, and particularly whenever our life's upset. So there's people who are discouraged and just need to be encouraged again. And then a really interesting group that I think we're going to see more of, people who are diffident. Now, that's not a word we use very often, but it just reminds us that there are people out there and they don't quite know where they are at the moment in terms of coming back to leadership. They've maybe been a wee bit slow to step up, and others already have, and they're thinking to themselves, I'm a bit embarrassed and I'm not sure I'm going to be welcomed back to lead, or I'm a bit embarrassed about coming back to it now. So really important to think about that, those groups, disaffected, discouraged, disengaged, drained, diffident, and to think pastorally about how we're going to approach these people, and that might be more than one conversation, so that we can actually rebuild our leadership team.
Yeah, it's interesting. You made me think about a comment that I heard at one of our events recently, one of our Years to Hear events, and there was someone sitting in a small group, and they said, as they arrive at church on Sunday, their two simultaneous questions are, where is everyone? And who are all these people? And I think he was talking then about, in his congregation, there's almost been this churn of people. So there's, you know, it's actually the landscape of the congregation has changed. And I think you're touching on that, David, that the landscape has changed in the last 2 years, but almost there's a different pool of people now. So actually, yes, leaders, some leaders have gone actually, or not here or there for whatever reason, but there might also be other people who have come to the fore. I don't know if either of you want to reflect on that at all or touch on that. And
yeah, it's actually really interesting. Even just a couple of weeks ago, an older woman who has started coming to our congregation approached me and said that she wanted to have a further conversation about where she might serve within our congregation. And she's just been discerning and listening for a while to try and figure out where her place would be. So there's certainly new people coming and wanting to find their place and asking questions as to how to do that. And that's really encouraging. And certainly in Kilbride, we've noticed that there has been this movement of people who haven't necessarily returned, people who are stepping back after coming back for a while, and new people who are still searching to find their place and to where they can serve. And I wonder, do we need to take a bit of time to listen to those people and to people in general to find out where they are and what their passions are as well, recognising that people have such a varied gift set and we need to find a place for them that will fit. We don't want to put people into the wrong hole, whether that's a square or a circle. We want them to fit in and use their gift sets wisely.
Yeah, I was at Kilbride, earlier on this year, and you were doing a kind of leaders event or a reconnection event. There was a kind of younger generation of leaders who seemed to be involved or being drawn in. Can you tell us even how that's happened in Kilbride? What's been the journey of that? Or, you know, how is Kilbride, or within Kilbride, how the congregation tried to encourage a younger generation of leaders to be involved?
Sure, and I know I've already touched on just how important it is that people encourage and support younger leaders as they come up through and as they find their place. And we have younger leaders and young adults serving in a variety of aspects. And sometimes I think the default is for us to find youth and children's work for young people to get involved in, but that's not always the case. And we have young adults serving in our audio and visual ministries, in the IT, in the praise teams. And that's great because that's part of their gift set and they have been able to plug in there and have a community around them in each of those teams. And one thing that I think is really important is that wherever you're serving, that you have a community around you who are encouraging you and that you're not serving alone, you're serving with others. And Kilbride's great at just surrounding people and encouraging people as part of that team, because we don't serve in isolation, we serve as part of a team, and it's lovely just to see that.
I think in terms of 2 years passing as well, one of the things we probably aren't great at noticing is how much people's circumstances have changed. So I know I've gone up and talked to people thinking, oh, they're still at school, and I suddenly discover they're in first year at university, and you suddenly realise, wow, you know, I haven't really seen them for 2 years, and you suddenly realise people's circumstances have changed. And that's going to be true for younger leaders who maybe have matured and come on and now they're in a place that they weren't 2 years ago. It's probably also true for older people, some of whom their life circumstances have just changed and maybe they do have an opportunity to serve if they were asked, and some people who've maybe retired as well and are looking for something to do. So we often talk about a leadership pool, and that's an interesting image, isn't it, to work with, because a pool sounds like a very stagnant thing and there's not really much flowing in or flowing out. but actually maybe it's a river of leadership that we need to think about, and that there is movement and people's circumstances do change. And if we're noticing that and listening, as Christine said, and we're really approaching people one-on-one to say, what about, you know, that could make a real difference.
So David, if a Kirk session are looking and seeing gaps, sensing gaps in leadership, have you any thoughts on how they could go about trying to plug that gap that has opened up, or, you know, or even how could they take a step back to be more constructive and creative and thinking about leadership and church life instead as well? So either plugging the gap or, you know, looking and thinking to be more creative.
Yeah, this is one of those aspects of church life that, because everything stopped for 2 years and we're almost coming back with a blank slate, it does put us in a different place than if things had just rolled on the way they always did. When they were rolling on the way they always did, we were always in this plugging gaps mindset, weren't we? And we were asking ourselves, oh, who could do that? Or would they do rightly? Because, you know, we're stuck and we need an extra person. Maybe this is a great opportunity to step back before restarting anything and actually ask ourselves, why do we still want to do this? What are we trying to achieve? And how can we best meet that goal with the people and possibilities our church family bring to the table? And that might mean that we do some things differently than we used to. It might mean that we do some completely different things. It might mean that we're doing something once a fortnight or once a month rather than every week. It could mean that we're sharing something with a neighbouring church because we don't have the capacity to do it ourselves. And that could be a really fruitful thing, particularly in smaller congregations. So it would be good not to just bring out what we did before and try and fill the gaps, but instead to step back and start by thinking about how can we reshape our idea of leadership and the team we need for the tasks involved in whatever it is we want to do. And that's probably a bit of a change of mindset for most of us, because it's actually starting with people and then working out what program that you can put in place, whereas we probably have been in a place for many years, we've just been trying to people the program that we've always done. And so we've a great opportunity. That's not to say it's easy, because one of the things I hate is whenever we paint a picture of, you know, the pandemic has been amazing for us, and that's not how we feel in our hearts. But when we take a step back, I think we can begin to see things differently and more positively.
That's helpful. For either of you, I suppose, you know, as we approach, whether it's re-engaging previous leaders or trying to engage new ones, I think I've heard both of those things in the conversation today. One of my thoughts is, how do we make serving within the church a more attractive or appealing possibility, you know, so it's not just, oh, there's a job to do and it feels like drudgery, you know. Have you any thoughts on that, on how we kind of, I guess, create a culture around serving that is healthy and attractive? Christine, do you have any thoughts on that?
So I wonder, first of all, if some people think that when they say yes to something that they're saying yes for life. And I've probably a wee bit of experience of that, and thankfully had a few leaders that encouraged me to say no, or that I need to stop at different times. And I wonder if we can consider offering trial periods for people, whether they want to come along and experience it for a month, get a feel for it, and actually see if it's something they're willing to commit to or willing to invest in. And I think even encouraging a year or 2 years and saying that it doesn't have to be a life commitment gives people a sense of maybe a bit more freedom than what they would have had before. But I wouldn't necessarily encourage short-term ministry for the sake of it, but simply as a way to give people a picture of what they might get interested in or be volunteering and serving in. One thing I do think that is so important is that we build community in our churches and in our serving teams and our leadership teams, and that it's not about what we do, but who you are. So you're not asked to do something because of your usefulness, but because of your character and who you are. And I think we can fall into that danger as churches and leadership teams in asking people and approaching people only when we need them to do something, but not because we actually value them as a person. But when we are close church and close community that will flow out of it, and people will feel a purpose in serving. And I think purpose is important too, that people know why they're serving. So whether they know the outcome or the aim of the group that they are serving in and that they're serving with, then they can really put into it and they want to be there. Instead of becoming stagnant, instead of becoming a bit disengaged, they have a reason for being there. And I think that's important to keep sharing and to keep emphasising as we serve. And ultimately that we are serving because of Christ. And yeah, I think that is something that is important as we go forward, that that energy comes from serving Jesus.
Brilliant. Funny, I was in a meeting last week actually in our congregation, and someone said, it was a kind of functional meeting of deciding, you know, what we would do next. And one of the leaders said, at the end we were saying, you know, what's the action points from tonight? And one of the leaders of a particular area in our church life said, I just need to gather my team to have dinner. And it was just an example of, think of what you're saying there, of just creating the kind of connection and team ethos. So yeah, thanks maybe for reminding us of that, Christine. And David, do you want to add to that?
I think again, it's just this moment where we can be a bit more creative about how we think of leadership. We're very good at guilting people into leadership, aren't we? You know, we make that announcement from the front, mm-hmm. and we say, this is not going to happen unless people step up. I wonder how often people really do step up, and even if they do, in response to that sort of appeal, does it create a healthy leadership culture or a congregation that's hungry to serve Christ? Or have we just got people because we've made them feel bad? I think there's really something really important about language. So we often use the word of needing volunteers, and maybe it would be better if we encourage people to think of their vocation in serving in the life of the church. Vocation isn't a word that we use a whole lot. It's an old-fashioned word, but interestingly, it has its roots in the Reformation idea of the priesthood of all believers, that it wasn't just the clergy who had the calling to serve God and his mission in the church. It was everybody. Everybody had a part to play. Everybody had a vocation. What if we were encouraging people to find their vocation? What if we were able to give them time and space, like Christine was kind of saying, to have a go at something and see whether this is something that they're going to grow into, or whether there's something that you just discover, poof, this is not for me, you know, I'm a square peg in a round hole. I think we need to think about how leadership can be more flexible as well. As we go forward, we might have to downsize the number of things that we do. We might have to bring some things together that we previously had as two separate activities or organizations. We might need to embrace technology and allow people to lead from home, like they are going to probably work from home, so that instead of multiplying all these leaders' meetings, we find smarter ways to use technology to bring those leaders together. And we might need to think about what some people have called seasonal micro-volunteering. I like that. By which they mean you don't have to sign up to do something every week. You might actually have a core team of people who run the thing, and then you've got volunteers who come in and they're not doing it every week, and they're helping out in ways that maybe aren't the upfront things or aren't the big things, but they're the people who need to be there to make things happen. And I did hear a great story about a GB company who knew they were struggling with leaders coming out of the pandemic, and they kind of appealed to a few people to just come along and be extra bodies and help us. And that was great. That allowed them to get going again. But I wonder if more than that, it allowed those people also a wee opportunity to think, you know what, I would never have thought of doing this, but actually I love it. And I would love to have a go at doing this every week. And they will become part of a new leadership team.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that's a phrase that's not been bandied around congregations too much in PCI. So what was it? Seasonal?
Micro-volunteering.
Seasonal micro-volunteering. There you go. There's a phrase that might catch on, you know, in the every member ministry idea. That's brilliant. Thanks so much, David. I mean, a lot of our conversation so far has been rooted in our observations, reflections, experience. I'd love to, before we finish, root it in scripture a little bit. So I'm wondering, you know, in this whole area, is there a Bible verse, Bible passage or something you've been thinking about that springs to mind? David, do you want to go first? And then we'll give Christine the last word.
Yeah, I think this is probably a moment for many of us in which we do need to find fresh purpose and leadership and service. And I know I find myself asking about the particular roles I play or the callings or vocations I have, if you like. what does this need to be going forward? Not what was it in the past, or will I just go back to this the way it was, but what does it need to be going forward? And what is God saying needs to be different? And sometimes that can be very energizing, but sometimes, to be honest, it's just another cause for a feeling of overload. You know, it's just another thing I have to think about. So in Ephesians 2 and 10, we read, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And if that's true, and it is, what an amazing thing to think that God both creates us and reshapes us in Christ to play our part as a round peg in a round hole in what he's doing in the church. Just good to think about that. You know, we're God's workmanship. Every one of us that's a follower of Jesus, he's created and recreated us in Christ Jesus to do good works. And if God's prepared in advance those works for us to do, what an amazing thing that is as well. And what an amazing thing in this season of life and church life to think, well, I'm looking ahead now. What does God want me to step into? Or how does God want me to step up in what I'm already doing? And how might that look different? So I just think that's a great verse to think about on the big picture in terms of congregations as well, but particularly as individuals and as we try to step into what God wants us to do and to be in the future.
Great. Christine?
This is maybe not a verse that's probably expected in this context, but what came to mind for me was when Jesus feeds the 5,000, specifically in John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, and it talks of how another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" And maybe I'm speaking in terms of my own perspective of my service, but just like the boy who in verse 9 gave 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, we each give our own what looks like a small contribution to the work of God. And we may also ask, like Andrew, how significant really is this contribution? How far will it actually go? But we know the story of how Jesus acts in his power and does immeasurably more than anything the disciples could have imagined. And I wonder, do we need a reminder that we're called to serve and to use what we have in order to advance Christ's kingdom? But we don't do this in isolation. We usually serve as a team, and the disciples distributed the food after it was blessed and prayed over by Jesus. And ultimately, God was at work and used his power to create his purposes for good. So too with us.
Mm. Thank you both for those reminders, as well of a picture of us holding out our own loaves and fishes, I suppose, and asking God to use and to bless through it. And just before we go, we've mentioned this before in the podcast, but PCI's resource, Opening Up to God, might be a useful thing to flag to our listeners as churches think about the programmes or ministries they facilitate, particularly heading towards that post-summer period in congregations. David, you were involved in that. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, that's a resource that should help either Kirk Sessions or a whole congregation or just a group of organisational leaders to think about what it looks like to lead out of lockdown, and to do so thinking about the kind of things that they feel they've learned have to keep going. They're absolutely core and they need to come back to them. The kind of things that are absolutely core, but we've learned to do them a wee bit differently. So it's a good thing to reflect on what it's going to look like going forward, because it's going to look a wee bit different. Then also along with that, some things that we might be saying we really need to start because we learned them in lockdown, and you know, we need to get a new bunch of leaders together because it's something we want to go with. And then also some things that we're just going to learn probably the hard way that we're not going to be able to start again, and so they're just going to have to stop. It's a very simple tool that any congregation or group of leaders could use to think through necessary things to think about getting restarted.
And that could happen like in, I don't know, an hour and a half within a Kirk Session meeting? Is that
absolutely, is that that's the idea. Okay. Because we know that people don't have lots of time to have big long conversations and big long processes. You need to pretty quickly get to the next step, and it'll help them to do that.
So that's presbyterianireland.org/opening-up-to-God. Our listeners can find that resource there. I think last time we falsely advertised that Neil Harrison would be hosting this episode of the podcast, but we had a slight change of plan, and that's why you've been listening to this conversation today. Neil's going to be back next time. PCI have been running a church planting conference, and that's going to be highlighted, I think, a little bit more in the next episode with Neil. But until next time, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.